Join us in the pledge. Good. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll give you some more room over there, too. So, yeah, you can go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the Broward County Sheriff approval sheet for November 14th. Account payable check cycle date 11/6 through 11/10 in the amount of $1,174,040.80. Accounts payable check manuals in the amount of $338,788.57. Accounts payable wires in the amount of $201,938.22. Payroll checks in the amount of $452,880.91 for total disbursements of $3,882,416.09.
Second. Any items of note there, Tom?
Yes, so Rob.
A list there, good.
I do. Yeah, since we didn't have any accounts payable last week.
Exactly, it was lovely. You know, we were saving money for the citizens there.
That's right. Kept it in the bank, yeah. Payment made to Kilgore Company doing business as Elam Construction. This is from the Road and Bridge budget for 2017 asphalt overlay, and we're still holding on to retained earnings. But this payment, $760,329.82. Payment to Tyler Technologies, Inc. This is from the accounting budget and the capital pools for the ERP implementation and design acceptance part of the project, $195,435.97. Payment to HomeQuest Lorenz Construction. This is building and plan for the Justice Center Gardens level remodel. And this is the final payment to HLCC, $19,038.25. Payment to LEDS, LEDS, LLC. This is for the election, and this is for the Tabor notice and for postage. $7,764.25.
Which part of that will be reimbursed, I assume, by the entities that were participating in the election?
Yep. Matter of fact, most of them, since the county didn't have any question on the ballot, did
yep.
we? Yeah, we. So, next one is a payment to MEMCAST North America Inc. This is for IS, and this was protection for targeted security threats. And this is a support compliance part of that the agreement with MIMECAST, payment $12,875. Payment to NWCC Inc. This is for road and bridge and testing for quality assurance on the asphalt overlay that was performed by Kilgore this year, $7,382.06. Payment to RCD Contract Construction Inc. This is road and bridge and for the Coleman Creek culvert replacement. And this is payment as well as retained earnings, $37,915.90. Payment to Response Technologies. This is another payment for the 2017 election. This is for custom printing and postage since we had the mail-in ballot. $16,320.48. Payments to Solutions Conferencing. This is a remote support for prime calls. And this is from the IS budget. $2,464.00. Payment to Ultra Max. This is for a sheriff's office and this is for ammunition. $2,420. They evidently have quite a few ammunition suppliers because this is a new one that I hadn't heard of before. Or hadn't seen printed.
So hopefully they go through the quote process on that too as well. So I mean,
there's a lot.
Hopefully they were not, you know, we're just not blindly.
Hopefully they
kick they back or whatever. Agree. So yeah, we go through a process.
But. Hopefully they do. I'm certain, you know, Sheriff Wiggins probably has that kind of focus. Payment to City of Steamboat Springs. This is for the CLEF project, the Combined Law Enforcement Facility. And this is through the building and plan budget, and this was paying the county's 50% for the reimbursement of costs provided by NV5 as the owner's rep for the project. This payment, $5,022.01, and this is for September of 2017.
Any questions? Anything? Seeing there? Anything?
Yeah, I just, the Vana had a big pay. Is that just from working so much overtime that Gary has to pay it out?
That was a matter of what we had to pay out prior to
who? What? Devonna?
If I'm getting this right.
So we had the issue of being exempt and not exempt?
That's correct.
Oh, that one, right.
Yep.
And then what department does Diana Wilson work in?
She works in the same department too, and that's the $8,000 that we approved last year from the for this year. Back payment up through January 1st.
Not being exempt.
Yep.
Okay.
No, we're not.
There's a reclassification
back and a retroactive date to January 1st.
Okay.
So any other discussion, questions? I'll look through these later. So all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Very good. So we have our consent agenda items. I don't see anything in here that we need to pull. I don't see that there's any resolutions as well. Is there? So I would have moved that we approve the consent agenda items A, B, C, and D.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
First, we don't have you until 11:25.
Have a consent agenda agreement to be signed.
Okay.
Stop.
Let's get a conversation.
All right. Well, I'm glad I
showed up. So we have our 11 o'clock item, and DOLA Energy Impact Assistance Fund grant application. And Tom, I'll turn it over to you first.
Thank you. Now, this item is to gain the BCC action committing to co-sponsor and submit to the Department of Local Affairs Energy Impact Assistance Fund grant application for the combined law enforcement facility. The grant budget that's being submitted here is just a portion of the overall cost of the project. At this grant application, $4,735,000, and that includes a $1 million request of grant funding from the Energy Impact Assistance Fund. The project costs will be split at 60% city and 40% county. The current project timelines include confirmation of a guaranteed maximum amount by May 11 of 2018. As of November 7, the estimated cost of the CLEF project is $17,549,000. The grant funding of $5,754,801 plus costs that have not yet been confirmed. Right now, the split in the cost would be again $4,735,000 split 60% city and 40%. County, as well as the grant award, so the county part of the project will be $2,841,000. I mean, the city's project, $2,841,000, and the county, $1,894,000. For Rock County's resources, we have budgeted in 2018 $5,288,000, and including $951,874. The land sale, well, not included, but additionally, the land sale for funding. So the total funding that we've budgeted for 2018 is $6,239,926. Do you have any other questions on the narrative I provided you? I gave you the budget breakdown of the line items that have been included in this grant application. And these items are a portion of the total cost for these items. So the project is broken down in this phase one grant application. Excavation work is not included in here. That will be starting prior to the grant award, so we could not include that. And there are some later items that aren't completed yet as far as identifying construction modes and cost that will come later and possibly be included in a second grant application in 2018. Any other questions?
So when are we going to get the final, are we going to sign off on the grant application, or this is the final action for us to
This is your final action, but
authorize.
We will, yes, you know.
So when are we going to get
we
a
should,
draft of the final so that we can
Wayne Dell Quadri told
that.
Me that she would have that done this week.
I would like to make
it's
sure
on
we
city
see
council.
That before it gets sent in.
Yes, we will.
So that we can provide input on the draft.
Definitely, let's see before it gets sent in.
Absolutely, yes. So I want to make sure.
Right, it was like a I just provided yesterday the assessment that Rock County did on for our space needs assessment for the sheriffs and comm center. So Winnie just received that yesterday. She's still working on that. And city council, I think it's on the city council agenda for next week. Kathy, do you are you aware?
We've already.
Oh, you've already approved the grant application.
Yes, we have. We did a resolution.
Okay.
Okay.
So I still want to make sure that I see the draft
Winnie,
before it becomes final.
Yes, Winnie will
make sure that we, and with the experience that I've been to the hearings as well, and with Commissioner Hermosinski's presentation at the board, that we have our reflection of what needs to be in the grant application for final.
Right, and an email acceptance. Communication I've had with Winnie, she's, as soon as she gets the draft done, she'll send it over to me.
That sounds
and
good.
And I'll forward it on to you.
And again, it's more into the wording and the total broad picture that we're looking at and why we're asking for all the stuff and to help to support the grant application. So,
okay, Mr. Chair, I move that
and actually, hang on a second. Okay. Kathy, do you have any comments or anything? So,
no, I'm just here to answer any questions. Thank you.
No, yeah, so we appreciate it. So, Kathy Meyer with the City Council is here as well. Anybody that might be bored listening to us on the phone.
Okay, I move that we commit to co-sponsor and submit a DOLA EIAF grant application to the City of Steamboat Springs for a total grant budget amount of $4,735,000 with a grant award request of $1 million for CLEF project funding. The City and County have agreed to a split of the grant budget and award at 60% and 40% respectively.
Second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Some typos on it.
Okay, well, good. Thank you.
Sure.
So we have a consideration to approve and waive the formal purchasing process and authorization chair to sign one of the a purchase order for Cisco network switches from Lawan Technology. So, Robert?
Yes, IS is requesting waiver of the formal purchasing process for the purchase of 9 Cisco network switches and the associated support and accessories. Lawan Technologies are assigned Cisco preferred seller, which allows them to provide the most competitive price. In order to qualify for Cisco SmartNet support contracts, all equipment must be purchased through our authorized Cisco reseller. We've included 3 quotes for reference and also the details of how it qualifies for the waiver of the formal purchase process. Any questions?
So I asked you again yesterday, the switches, these are just switches that all the lines from everywhere to go into these switches?
Yep, and all at both campuses.
And they go back in and then back out again?
Correct. So this is basically our network routing equipment between the courthouse and the sheriff's office.
For the internal routing?
For the internal routing and between and external between the two buildings.
Okay.
So this will also accomplish the switch needed in the Steamboat Springs Road Bridge Shop with the fiber connectivity.
How'd you go from 13 down to 9?
We just kind of look at the big picture and where we could upgrade from a 24 to a 48 port switch and eliminate one and consolidate that. We also looked at the CLEF and the equipment that's going to be needed over there to accommodate that. So instead of just daisy chaining it out, we kind of just try to consolidate it. And switches, believe it or not, are big overhead as far as maintenance support and where they are and what they do. And consolidating makes a lot of sense as far as from support, staff support issues.
Great, thanks.
So what do we actually buy? I mean, and again, this is education purposes.
So we're buying 9 switches.
9 switches?
9 switches. We're replacing 13 with 9.
Okay,
and $49,000. A lot of the costs are associated costs with power over Ethernet, which has historically raised the cost of our switches from traditional switches to we have power over Ethernet that accommodates our phones.
Okay.
I would move that we approve and authorize my signature on the purchasing of the Cisco network switches from Luan Technologies for the amount of $49,518.56, noting that we will be waiving the formal purchasing process as they are basically a preferred vendor, and that we have and they're all buying the same switches and give us the best price. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we have a request before you for approval of two new pay scales for two purchasing positions because of the recent retirements of our building and plant and purchasing director and the purchasing manager. The purchasing department's being reorganized. Dan Weinheimer and Tom have been reviewing the department structure, and they have created a purchasing agent slash buyer position, and we have a pay scale for the new position. We're looking to hire two individuals. One would be a purchasing agent buyer one. The second one would be a purchasing agent buyer two. They will both operate off the same pay scale. One person will have more experience than the other, and that's why we're looking to have two different levels.
So let me ask a question. So how come when you do this, how can we adopt a wage scale when we don't have the job descriptions? We didn't have the job descriptions that you have attached. And I understand how, and then
you can still see them.
Yeah.
Tom approves the job descriptions. But how do we justify, and we're just out here blindly doing this. How do we adopt wage scales when we don't have job descriptions of what's entailed between?
Valid question. I can include those in the agenda packets.
Yes, indeed. And again, so if he adopts them, that's fine. That's what we've had to happen.
These are both scaled back from the current job description for Maury Hamilton's position because it's no longer a supervisory role position.
Okay.
So there's less management of the program. So it is a lower pay scale than the current pay scale.
Than the current purchase and the job description for Marty was a purchasing agent?
Manager.
Manager. So these are purchasing buyers.
So under here, the note says that it was created with employer council survey data, and we took their three for R2 and their two for R1.
They have a one level that was strictly an entry level, didn't come in with really much experience, if any.
Okay.
And we are looking to hire R1 from internally. So we're looking for somebody with experience, and then the two would more than likely have a higher level.
Wait. But we're not adopting this pay scale because we know who's coming into the position.
That's right. These are
to decide if we need a buyer one that has entry level experience or if we need a buyer one that has more experience. I mean, we don't create job positions for people that are here.
No,
we decide.
We agree. We all agree with that.
Okay.
Tim, I, you all, we all agree with that.
Okay.
But I think it was felt that we need somebody that has experience.
So then why don't we have a buyer two and a buyer three? And then just put, we're going to have a buyer two and a buyer three, and we're not going to have a buyer one.
I guess we just, efficiently, we didn't want to have a position that we would never fill.
Or that who's going to be responsible? You already said that it's going to be responsible assistant county manager, correct?
It's going to be responsible to.
And equally, both of these positions are going to be responsible. Or Dan's in charge of both of these two positions?
Right. Yes.
So I'm valid question that she's asking. So why do we have two and three, and what makes it a one?
I mean,
you're number one in my mind.
Dan's the one that wrote all this.
He was in there just
he was in the kitchen.
The reason I say that, though, is because sure. When we go out and do salary surveys in the future, we're going to be surveying ones and twos, and that's not really what we have. We have twos and threes.
I don't always look at the job title. I look and compare the requirements. Okay. So if we have that we require 3 to 5 years of experience, I'd be looking at job descriptions that required 3 to 5 years of experience.
Why don't we just have a buyer two and buyer three? I'm looking at this fine print here.
Uh-huh.
And we took the data from the employer council survey data, and for their three, we made it a two, and for their two, we made it a one. Why don't we just have a buyer two and buyer three?
Because we didn't necessarily have a buyer one. Okay. If we did that, I mean, I think we were looking at it as, you know, trying to make it consistent so you had that entry point and then a more senior that we'd only have likely two individuals.
So we'll never bring in a buyer one that has no experience?
I would hope not.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's possible. I think within the way that the spec is, what we have, we tried to tie the lower end position into the certifications that you can receive, because that is something that was in the previous job description, and I think makes sense to have that certified public purchasing buyer CPPB. That credential, being able to attain that, would be an associate's degree and a certain level of experience that could be from that. I believe it's a low end, couple of years of experience, 1 to 2 years. We want to be able to have somebody who can fill that position and learn and get that certification, that credential, and then have somebody who's got more experience who can help us with those more complicated purchases and acquisitions that we typically have every year.
Okay.
So is this the same job description for both positions?
Yes.
The model that I would advocate is that we have the same job description as a core, as a base, that's what's in our books. And then that when we publish the job and are recruiting for it, there's a clear set of job duties, and that would be different for a one or a two, or you know, we have somebody who's going to have more experience and do those more complicated ones. It's clear in there when we post the job that's the duties of that position.
So in our job description manual that exists, do we have different job descriptions for planner 1, 2, 3?
Yes.
Yes.
So why aren't we doing it for buyer 1 and 2?
Because I think we should be going to that, the model for all of our, you know, that there's a band for planner, and that you advance in that from 1, 2,
by
3.
By the technical skills or your education or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. You have, you know, essentially a growth years.
So, but we don't do that with this here because they're both same job description.
Right, so you would...
And Dan's saying that maybe we had to do that for all of our positions.
So then we could have that, you know, that matrix, if you will, of growth. This one's a little smaller because we're likely to only have the one or two people, you know, over a longer period of time. We might only have one purchasing agent. But right now, I think the system, we need to have two based on the quantity of work and some of the issues with ERP implementation. But having one job description and then having
well, the ERP growth thing, you know, that's a temporary thing. That's
it is, exactly.
Way, we
yeah.
hope, so.
And that's the
later.
Hope. Yep.
And that wasn't included in the job description?
So exempt. Evidently, both of them are exempt. How can you do that?
Well, these positions shouldn't be exempt.
No, yeah, I missed that when
I
we were putting
it
together. That was
previous.
A leftover from Marty's.
Yeah, that might
yeah.
be, yeah.
Good catch, Doug.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because neither one.
And again, I'm fine with everybody being exempt, but,
yes.
You know, I just we ask all these questions because that's what, you know, so probably is not exempt.
I think they'd
be non-exempt.
Non-exempt.
From either one of
them. For neither, yeah.
Right.
And again, I guess I'm struggling as Commissioner Hermosinski, having agent buyer one and agent buyer two, and then, you know, it's just set up for internal conflict in the thing if they have the same job description.
Well, and when we go back out for salary surveys, that's what I said before you came in the room. I mean, you know, we're using buyer two for buyer one and buyer three for buyer two. And I know you say that you review the job descriptions, but I mean, that's a deeper dive. If we were just going to do a salary survey and we compared ourselves to, you know, we're going to think that our buyer one and buyer twos are under overpaid.
Well, it's still based on your review of the job descriptions and the years of experience and education that's required.
So when's this opening up? What's the schedule on this stuff?
I think we'd like to post them.
Pay scales.
post them immediately for the, in particular,
as soon as we can.
The one that's posted as two.
That. Basically, the replacement for one.
Yeah. We need to get that.
Which is the purchasing agent buyer two. One.
That's the two.
Two, I think.
Two.
Yeah.
What was the salary range?
So what is she now?
Purchasing manager?
She's.
I'm sorry, hang on.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Apologize, I didn't bring that with me.
What was that?
What's the salary range for a purchasing manager under our.
I've got
in
it.
In our book.
I'd have to grab the book.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
So it's probably professional technical. It's
yes, it is.
$30 an hour or something.
Well, this is professional technical. It's at $33 an hour.
Off, no, yeah.
I think it's higher.
Okay.
But
when
she's.
The last time you updated this for us, but.
She's retiring from a purchasing manager position.
So what?
She's a purchasing manager. The
right,
job description.
I understand that. We understand that.
Okay. The yeah. job description was related to a lot of the building plant responsibilities and some supervision that was there, and that obviously won't exist.
The manager started out at $65,894 and tops out at $89,149.
And starts off at $31, $31.86
yes.
an hour.
Yes. $31.68
Yeah.
And it tops out at $42.86
So then the other thing, we're still having this continued discussion about the future and how we're going to, the long range operanda
yep.
of this. Whole thing.
A purchasing program, yes.
Yeah, I think.
And at the same point in time, we need to have staff here doing the things that need to be done.
Yeah, we have an immediate need, and then we have you know, that long-term discussion about what is our
what
workflow
doing,
and how do
yes.
we manage it. And technology with ERP, once it's finally implemented, maybe that lowers the workload on the purchasing staff, and that then we make a change. But I think it's an if. Or when?
Other questions? What?
No.
So again, I get anything in the meantime. So we still have, and Marty's retiring when again? December.
December 1.
December 1.
December 1.
I it's hard for me to memorize all these because I just it's that you get a 3% annual increase for being here an extra year. On top of step increases have always been odd to me.
And again, I totally support those, and I think
okay.
they're really good. And again, figure out a range,
right?
Put them in a place. And again, that's the idea is that we're trying to start them off at a lower range, and that's why we've been a little bit short of starting everybody out at five. But if you come in a police officer, you've been a police officer for 10, 20 years already.
Right.
Why
can we see the job description one more time?
Yeah. And so, yes, in the future.
I'm going to vote to support this, by the way. I'm not being.
I think we're having a conversation on what we'll see. In the future, I want to see the job descriptions because it has no bearing on how I can approve this without knowing what's in the job responsibilities.
I mean, this is pretty nice to think you can get an associate's degree and, you know. Make $47,000 to $80,000 a year.
We had this discussion in my house last night.
Okay. Leslie looking for another job now.
And have a driver's license.
Got to maintain that driver's
license,
though.
Honestly,
that's
do you have
key.
To be 18?
No.
Okay, great. So as soon as Eva gets her associate's degree, I'm sitting there working with the county.
So can I have that, by the way?
Yeah,
I mean, she can get it.
I want to keep it, so you can print out another one.
I can even email you a clean one.
That's
if like.
Fine. Do that.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Chair, I move that we recommend approval of the pay scales for the new position of buyer one and buyer two.
Second. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Thank you.
Very good.
I couldn't be as articulate as you.
I don't know. Every day is a new day. We just come up with
yeah.
Depends on how I got out of bed this morning.
Yes, you know, so. I said about it, skills are important too. I spent all those years going to college. Now I can show them well.
We have a consideration for an extension of the Doherty final PUD extension for 60-day extension to submit the final PUD plan. Chad?
Well, typically these approvals are good for a year, but the board put a condition on because they had that illegal outdoor storage that if they submit their application for final within 60 days, they can keep their outdoor storage. Because under the final, that could be considered conforming at that time. So they're not going to meet that 60-day deadline, and they would still like to keep the outdoor storage out there, so they're asking for an extension of the 60 days.
Did you have the backup materials in your packet?
Just one page.
Okay, so we didn't get the letter from the NFL Engineering. Did we need it?
No, it was just the request for extension.
Oh, okay, all right.
So run that by me again. So we approved the PUD.
And
the PUD was contingent upon them filing the final PUD was within 60 days.
Right.
No.
And then we were going to grandfather in the storage units.
Well, the conceptual approval was good for a year, but if they got it in within 60 days, they could keep their outdoor storage.
And who made that? We made that rule, or did you do that?
I don't know. I can't remember. It was good. Sounds like you don't remember.
because if those proposed uses, if those proposed uses were approved as part of their final, they could keep that outdoor storage out there anyway. So I think that was the intent.
Okay.
That why should they remove it if they can just put it back in within X amount of time? But you didn't want it to be a year.
Right.
60 days sounded.
So have they submitted their final PUD?
No, they're running a little late.
When are they going to get it in?
That would be my question.
Yeah.
I'm heading down the same path here. So.
I mean, well, I was excited that after 15 years, this thing was going to get cleaned up. So.
They even said 30 days, but I think, you know.
Are they really doing it?
That's what we got from Stegmaier. Yeah, we'll have it within 30, but I'd hate to see it within another 30 days asking for it. So I think 60 or 90 would be.
Should cut it down to 45 just to show them we're serious.
So it's a 60-day extension, and that's what they're asking for?
I think they only asked for a 30, but I think 60 would be more appropriate just in case they run into another delay.
So what is the due date? November? That isn't November 12th. Then
that's the end of the 60 days.
January 12th, 2018.
Yes.
I'm fine with this. It's been trying to get cleaned up for years.
Oh, I know. They're throwing more
with. Niche out there, you know, he wants to continue to operate his business, so I think he's pushing Bush, right, to get this finally buttoned up a little.
And I think a fair is the stuff that's hardest to move, the outdoor storage, is Mitch's.
Okay.
So like I said, and that's what was approved, so it would just be relocated for a couple of
months. Okay.
I move that we approve a 60-day extension on the submittal deadline for the final PUD plan, and that would basically be 60 days from the due date of November 12th, 2017, which probably ends up being January 12th,
2018. Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you much.
Thank you.